The words of God given to us today are Psalm chapter 25, verse 14. It is page 820 in the Old Testament. Allow me to read the words. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. Amen. When Saul left Jerusalem and near Damascus on his way to arrest people who were following the way of the Lord with a notice from the high priest in his hands, he met the Lord who was a present to him in the light from heaven and converted. After his conversion, Saul met and informed the apostles who were in Jerusalem about how he got to meet the Lord, and he told them how he delivered a message that Jesus was the Son of God at Damascus Synagogue, the very place he had intended to go to arrest people who were following the way of the Lord. He shared fellowship with the disciples of the Lord and did his all to spread the way of the Lord. This had a big impact, and a big change happened at the church. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31 tells us of such changes. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in number. The church enjoyed a time of peace. It came to be firmly established. Because of the power of the gospel, the comfort, the consolation of the Holy Spirit was present, and so the number of attendees at the church and the believers increased. Particularly noteworthy is the passage that tells us that there, among the people, there was the fear of the Lord. Later, Paul was sent as a missionary to Pamphylia and Galatia by the Antioch Church in Syria, and he spread the way of the Lord in what is today's mid-southern area of Turkey. This is known as Paul's first mission. The first word that Saul spoke when he preached on the way of the Lord with Barnabas at the synagogue of Pisidian Antioch, which is located at the middle region of Turkey, is recorded in Acts chapter 13, 16. The standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me." Now in this passage, the Israelites means the Jews who had left their homeland and spread to live at various places in the world. In other words, the diaspora. And the Gentiles who worship God meant the non-Jews who had converted to Judaism. People who fear God are people like Gentile Centurion Cornelius, who makes his appearance in chapter 10 of the Acts. As I had spoken during the fourth Sunday in May, Centurion Cornelius was a devout Gentile who worshipped and served God well. In the same way that Apostle Peter preached the way of the Lord to devout Cornelius and his entire household, Saul also preached the way of the Lord to the people who revered God. God used apostles as instruments to make people who fear Him to know the way of Jesus, who is their Savior. God gave a greater grace, the grace of the gospel, to Centurion Cornelius and his household to revere God in chapter 10 of the Acts. And in chapter 13 of the Acts, to the people who feared him at Pisidian Antioch. As a result, the way of the Lord came to be spread to the world, not only to the churches in all of Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. The local churches in the world came upon a time of peace and were strengthened. And there was the fear of the Lord and the consolation of the Holy Spirit. The reverence that people had for the Holy Father God became expanded to include the Holy Son, Jesus, by them hearing about the way of the Lord. In the way that there is big faith and small faith, there is also a big reverence and a small reverence. Because the confidence in salvation comes from the grace of the Lord, it is perfect. But the faith that one has as a saved person, a believer, could be big or small. This faith becomes bigger as one comes to know God. And on the contrary, more one does not know about God, such faith will become diminished. And fearing God is the same. Now, Jonah ran into a big storm at sea when he was running away, disobeying the command to deliver God's words. And the people on the ship concluded that the storm was a disaster brought on by God's anger and tried to identify the culprit by doing a lottery. And when Jonah was picked, he said, "I am a Jew and someone who fears God, the Jehovah, who created the sea and the land." And in hearing this, we might think that Jonah is a holy person who feared God, believing in him as the creator of the sea and the land. But Jonah did not have a deep understanding or knowledge about God. If he had known the love of God, which will to save the people of the Nineveh, who are at the brink of destruction, he would not have acted the way he did. So Jonah said that he feared God, but this was merely a self-assessment. The way God saw it, he lacked sufficient fear of God. The more one knows about God in the right way, his or her fear of God increases. Centurion Cornelius and the people who were gathered at the synagogue of Pisidian Antioch had insufficient fear of God, but as they heard of the way of the Lord from the apostles, they came to know God more, and their fear of God became greater. What is fearing God? The Korean word for Korean word kyungwae, literally means honoring and fearing. Psychologically speaking, it is said that it is fear and respect one feels in running into a being who cannot be completely understood or to be known, or witnessing a phenomenon or an object which shocks and overwhelms. If we were to explain this in a theological terms, we could say that it is the holy fear that a person who acknowledges the sovereignty and glory of God feels. In short, the holy fear, or the holy reverence. The Korean word kyungwae is a translation of the Hebrew word jare, and the literal meaning of this Hebrew word is fearful and scary. So the Hebrew word also has similar meaning. In the Hebrew Bible, which uses the same word at times, it is translated literally as fearful and scary. And if we were to think simply about this word, it would not be too far off for us to simply think of it as fear. But why do we need to fear God? We need to fear God because it is something that God demands. Now, God said this through Moses. It is from Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12. "And now, Israel, what does your Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul?" If one were to do the will of God and serve him, one must first fear God. The reason that God wants us to fear him is so that we can live out his way and to serve him well. Another reason that God demands a fear of him, our fear of him, is to prevent us from sinning. This is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." About the time that Moses was to receive the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on them at the Mount Horeb, God became present among the people of Israel. The reason that God became present to these people was for the Israelites as the persons of God to fear God and stop from sinning. A person who fears God do not sin. If a person were to think of God before sinning, that person will not sin. If a person thinks of God but sins anyway, then that person is not someone who fears God, but somebody who has little regard for God. Because the purpose of God becoming present to a person is to cause him or her to fear him and refrain from sinning, a person who perceives the presence of God, the God who hates sin, does not sin. But did people of Israel really fear the presence of God? They became fearful because they witnessed the hail, the lightning, the sounds of trumpets, and smoke at the time. At the time that Moses was receiving the stone tablets at the Mount Horeb. If the people of Israel did not see and hear the hail, the lightning, the sounds of trumpets and smoke, they would not have had great fear when God became present among them. What about us? God is present with each of us. Maybe some of us do not know that He's present because He is with us so quietly. Because God is so quiet as if He were not there, and because He does not bring down hail and lightning and trumpet sounds and smoke, we do not fear Him. A person who perceives God, who is always present with him or her, even without such great noises and amazing sights, does not sin because the person senses that God is watching over everything that the person does and comes to have great fear of him and does not sin. The more consciousness and perception a person has of God, who is always with us, will come to have cultivate great fear of God. So we must fear God, but how could we be in peace without being uptight with being that we are to fear? In the animal kingdom, prey animals like gazelles or zebras fear predators like leopards and lions. It is not possible to coexist with the other, who is fearful. A prey is always on edge and keeps distance from the scary predator. This is not true only for animal kingdom, but also true for human societies. It's very difficult to live with a person whom one fears. I don't know if there are tiger teachers anymore, but students wish the classes with such teachers to be over as soon as possible. And nobody wants to spend a long time with a tiger drill instructor in military or a tiger superior at work. Whether it is animal kingdom or human world, no one wants to be with a feared being. But mysteriously, in our relationship with God, in the relationship between God and men, the more a person fears God, closer the relationship becomes. As I come to have greater consciousness and perception of God who is with me, my fear of Him increases and I become closer to God. And this is from today's text, Psalm 25, verse 14. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. God is close to those who fear Him. If we were to consider the literal meaning of the expression being close, It means God is so close to such a person as to confide his secrets. Such closeness means that God regards a person as someone worthy to discuss important matters together. If we have such closeness with God, what will we fear in the world? Therefore, a person who fears God does not fear the world, and he or she does not fear the people in the world. To the contrary, because the closeness of God is with me, the world fears me. The Jewish midwives, Shifra and Pua, who lived at the time of Moses, were persons who feared God. Now Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt, and his father Jacob and brothers came to live in Egypt. Hundreds of years after Jacob's family settled down in Egypt, their descendants thrived and increased in number in Egypt so that they came to fill the land. When a king who did not know Joseph came to rule Egypt, the Egyptians feared the thriving Israelites. And so the king of Egypt ordered the Jewish midwives, Shifra and Pua, to kill any baby boy who was born. But there were persons who feared God. They knew that they would be put to death if they disobeyed the king's command. But they feared God more than they feared the Egyptian king. Therefore, they did not kill baby boys who were born. But amazingly, these Jewish midwives, Shifra and Pua, did not die. On the contrary, their families came to thrive. Because these Jewish midwives feared God, the world came to fear them and could not put them to death. It wasn't that the world feared Shifra and Pua. They feared God, who was close to Shifra and Pua. How close are we with God? There are things that a person who fears God and has intimacy with God should not do. I would like to think about a few of them. The first is that such a person must not look down upon the vulnerable people, but must treat them with respect. This is from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 13 to 14. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. That a person oppresses and exploits his neighbor means that such a person has more power than his neighbor. Exploitation means that one does not pay the rightful wage for another's labor. A person who fears God does not oppress or exploits another who is weaker than him or her by using power. A person who engages in economic activity from a superior position but does not pay wages or make payments rightfully or delay such payments to others by using such a position is not something that a person who fears God would do. We must also respect people with physical disabilities. If we were to make fun of such disability or try to use such vulnerability to gain profit for ourselves, intimacy with God will disappear. A person who has intimacy with God must not defraud others and be honest. This is from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 17. Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. I am the Lord, your God. A person who is intimate with God does not defraud others. That we should not defraud our neighbors means that we should not defraud those who are near us. A person who is close to us is in a trust relationship with us. Defrauding the other while the other trusts me is not something that a person who fears God should do. We say in Korean that to defraud another is 사기. In our country, the incidence of 사기 occurrences is in very high proportion. A representative example of this is insurance fraud among financial scams. According to the Financial Supervisory Service, the total amount of discovered insurance fraud in 2018 was at a historic high and amounted to involved an amount that is as high as 798.3 billion Korean won. And there was an increase of 68.1 billion Korean won in such fraud cases from 2017 figures. So it is said that the estimated amount of losses suffered by insurance companies, according to a study which was conducted by the Insurance Research Institute at the request of the Financial Supervisory Service last year, was 6.2 trillion won. So we can say that the amount of insurance fraud, which was actually investigated and discovered by the police, is less than 10% of the estimated insurance loss. Among insurance frauds, requesting compensation for excessive medical care is one of them. A fraud does not have to be large to be a fraud. If one gets excessive medical care, even if one did not suffer any physical harm at the time of a car accident, it is fraud. A person who tells the other driver that there is no problem with the goodwill when there is a minor car accident is probably somebody who is close to God. Now, there is a story which is well known about Abraham Lincoln, who was the 16th president of the United States. This happened when Lincoln ran for a seat in the state legislature before he ran for presidency. His party sent him $200 to spend for election campaigns. Since it was a paltry sum to be spent on the election campaign, the people who were working on his election were disgruntled. And after the campaign, Lincoln got elected. And the letter which Lincoln wrote to his party upon returning $199.25 as a leftover from campaign funds reads like this: "I am returning the remaining campaign funds. I paid for the places where I gave speech while I was campaigning, and I didn't have to spend a lot of money in traveling from places to place since I rode a horse. But there was a person out of town who said that he was thirsty, and so I used his 75 cents to buy him a drink." In this age, where false receipts are submitted for reimbursements, or when people try to get their personal expenses reimbursed by including them along work-related expenses, the story of Lincoln is inspiring. A person who is intimate with God does not use others' money dishonestly and uses money honestly without defrauding others. There is a person in the Bible who used his own money to pay for expenses and set an example of honesty, like Lincoln. And this person is Nehemiah. After the southern Judah lost a war to Babylon in 586 BC, he became in charge of leading the third wave of Israelite captives returning to Israel, and which was in the year of 444 BC under the reign of King Xerxes. As the governor, he reconstructed the wall of Jerusalem in 52 days. At the time of the restoration, most Israelites provided labor, but it was difficult for them to do so while making a living. Ordinary people paid taxes and were in financial hardship, but the upper class and the government authorities lent money to people and received interest at a high interest rate. When he discovered this, Nehemiah rebuked them. This is from Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 9 to 10. "So I continued, 'What you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let us stop charging interest.'" People who fear God does not receive high interest from people who are in financial hardship. After Nehemiah became aware of the difficulties being faced by people, he did not exercise his entitlements. And he set an example to others in leadership positions. This is from Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. Moreover, from the 20th year of King Zartaxex, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them, in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Nehemiah, who had intimacy with God by fearing him, did not follow the ways of the former governors. He did not oppress people who were facing difficult circumstances. And even going further, he did not receive the salary to which he was rightfully entitled to. The reason that Nehemiah refused to receive salary was because he knew his salary came from taxes that people paid. A person who has entitlements but knows to give them up for the sake of those who are worse off, someone who goes even further to give away what is his or hers, is someone who is close to God. Because people who are close to God by fearing him refrain from the acts that they should not do, they are the people who obey the words of God. Because people who obey the words are people who love people, they do not engage in actions that damage others. To people who have intimacy with God by fearing him, like centurion Cornelius or the people of Pisidian Antioch who feared God, yet another grace of God awaits them. Let's read over today's passage. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. The intimacy of God that is present in people who fear God means they have intimacy with God in such a degree that God will let his secret ways be known to them and will confer with them. That God is close to us means that he will reveal his covenants to us. Now, a covenant can simply be understood as a promise, but from a legal perspective, it is closer to a contract than a promise. When a contract is broken, the person who breaks the contract must bear responsibility. In the ancient times, breaking a contract meant death. Such a contract can no longer exist today, of course. But in the ancient contracts entered into between a person and a person, or between a tribe and a tribe, required compensation by death if such a contract was broken. But the contract between God and a person is not a mutual contract. It's a unilateral contract. It's a unilateral covenant. In other words, since there will be no instance where God will break his own covenant, there is only the possibility of the person breaking the covenant. That God enters into a covenant relationship with us despite such a possibility means that his focus is not on the punishment that will follow upon a violation of the covenant. The covenant is a unilateral covenant under which God promises to bless us. In other words, it is a covenant of grace. Therefore, when the statement that God will make his covenant known, the statement means that he will gift a person with special grace. Covenants are the words. The Ten Commandments are called the covenants. And therefore, the Bible calls the Ark that contained the two stone tablets on which the Ten Commandments were written as the Ark of the Law, but also it is referred to as the Ark of the Covenants. Now, God gave us the new covenant. What is the essence of this new covenant? It is Jesus Christ. Jesus is Logos, and Logos is the Word. Jesus is the Word and the essence of the new covenant. That God will reveal His covenant to people who fear Him means that He will reveal Jesus Christ, who is the essence of the new covenant and the gospel. God will show His secret of sending His only Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to pay the price of the broken covenant with His blood for the sake of people who had broken the covenant with Him and thereby saving them. So that there can be intimacy with God for people who fear Him, God revealed the secret of salvation, the gospel, to Centurion Cornelius, his entire household, the people of Pisidian Antioch, and to everyone today who fear Him. Everything that Jesus said, who is the core of the new covenant, allow people who receive salvation to fear God more and enjoy a greater intimacy with God. Let us all fear God so that we will be intimate with God and the words of Jesus will be revealed in our lives as fruits and therefore cause the church to come upon the time of peace and to be built up well together in the comfort of the Holy Spirit so that our church will become a more church-like church. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your desire to have intimacy with people who have been created according to your image. Because of your desire to be close to us, may we fear you and not sin and keep your words. Help us not to forget that the people who fear God do not fear people of the world or anything in the world. Help us not to forget that the people who fear God does not give hard time to vulnerable people, and that they must be honest and not gain profit from people who live with us by defrauding them. As we remember that the more we fear you, we come closer to you, may we make efforts to have everything that Jesus, the core of your new covenant, said, be revealed in our lives so that we will fear you more. And in so doing, may the church be firmly established in peace and be built up well together in the consolation of the Holy Spirit, so that the members who participate in worship, Bible study, prayer meetings, district meetings increase, and our members become ever more like true Christians, and our church will become more church-like, evermore. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.